welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding episode 163. We are coming to you in the Chefy post-Thanksgiving, post-Black Friday weekend, or at least for me. Joining me this week, we have Daniel.
Hi.
And we have Martin.
Hello.
Okay, so I wanted to do something different to kick off this week, just in case. I mean, mostly this is probably going to be me, but I think Martin might have succumbed to it a bit. But did you pick up anything during these, like, Black Friday, Cyber Monday? And yes, I read it's Sunday as we're recording this, but Cyber Monday apparently starts on Saturday now. Sales this week.
I did not pick up anything. There was nothing I was interested in. Okay. At least so far. Still 2 days left of sales on Amazon stuff. So who knows? I'm still hoping for Hyrule Warriors. That's actually the only thing I'm waiting for. If Smash on sale today, which I already bought.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected. I mean, because Smash literally came out Friday for you folks. I would not have expected that to be on sale so quickly.
Yeah.
Jason is in here. I know he has found. He got a bunch of stuff with my prodding. I know he picked up Hyrule Warriors, I believe, because that was $30. Mario Kart 8, which was $35. And I'm sure some other stuff. I picked up New Super Mario Bros. 2, because I've never played it, for $15. I picked up Sunset Overdrive, which was $38. I think that might be it. I bought another one for a gift, but I won't say. I think that's all I picked up for games. And I finally was able to track down a GameCube adapter. Thank God for that, because those things are apparently really hard to find.
Yeah, Nintendo really screwed that one up.
I don't necessarily think they screwed it. Well, okay, yes, they kind of. But I feel like it was really, it's a hard thing to gauge what the demand would have been for it, because it is, on paper, it's a very niche product. It's something for people who are really fans of Melee, who wanted to use the GameCube controller. I didn't think there'd be a huge market for it, but apparently there is. Either there's a huge market for it, or they undershipped it, and then the people who want it just happen to be the people who are very vocal online.
Yeah.
Either way, it does seem like it was it's the demand is far outstripping the supply right now. And I'm curious to see what happens with that in the future, but I finally tracked down one. And then after I bought it, and after people, it sold out really quickly on Amazon, and people were talking about, like, oh, they got two or three. I'm like, crap, I should have got two, but how often am I going to actually play a pair of Smash Brothers? And as long as I have a GameCube controller, the rest of you can use whatever the hell they need. And that might be selfish, but whatever, I paid the money. I also picked up a ton of movies, but that's neither here nor there. That was Black Friday. It wasn't the best Black Friday. I don't think there was so many oh my gosh I needed deals like there were in previous years, but at the same time I'm happy for it, because as I joked on Twitter, I still have games from last year that I bought during these sales that I don't use, that are unopened, they're still in the shrink wrap. So and I guess technically speaking, I got Shadow of Mordor again. But that was different, because I bought Shadow of Mordor during the Target Buy 2 Get 1 Free sale, and then Amazon had a sale where you could get Shadow of Mordor and then the Lord of the Rings Extended Edition Blu-ray Trilogy for $55, which is an amazing deal. So I don't have the Blu-ray movies, and my friend didn't have Shadow of Mordor, so I figured I'd buy it, I'll get the Trilogy movies, and then he'll buy the game off of me. And it works out for everybody. We get it for like $30 a piece.
I got the movie trilogy for free not too long ago.
Oh, fancy us.
and that's because the Warner in Germany had made a mastering error with the German dub. And my friend bought that version, and for some reason he wants the German dub to be perfect. I don't give a shit. And he never had to send those broken discs in, so I take them.
I was actually going to watch one today, and then I looked at the fact it's like 4 hours. I'm like, I'm never going to record this podcast if I start this. I'm never going to get out of bed if I start this movie today, so I'll hold off on that. Yeah, and a ton of other movies, but that's neither here nor there. It did give me an idea, at least I don't know about, we've done this in the past, I don't know if you two are as bad recently, but we used to have like a Steam cast, we would go through and play a game that we've never played from our Steam library, and since this year is kind of slowing down, there are going to be stuff to talk about, especially next week when the Game Awards and those revealed and the PlayStation Experience. But I figured maybe either, probably not this month, but probably sometime in the new year, we'll do one of those backlog episodes where we pick something we've never played before in our collection and go through it or talk about it on the show. But that's down the road. I guess we can start off with what we've been playing this week. And who wants to go first?
I play Pokemon. I bought both of them, waited forever for them to download, because thanks Nintendo. And yesterday I finished the Elite Four. And
wow, really?
Yeah, I played it for 15 hours straight, but it took me 15 hours to get to the end.
That's insane, especially being that they're remakes, which I have to imagine you played before.
Yeah, I played Ruby and Sapphire and Emerald before. So,
I think you have a problem.
Maybe. This week I've been sort of looking for excuses to do anything but stuff that I should be. So, you know, Pokemon's a good thing to do when you should be doing other things. I don't know, they're a lot like X and Y, which is to the surprise of nobody. They've taken some things out, they've put some things in, there's no trainer customization anymore, but they put the secret bases back in. They put the flag you can go into other people's secret bases and take flags like you could in Diamond and Pearl. They put that back. The contests are back, although they don't have the berry blending stuff, which is kind of sad. The big thing I was looking forward to was the Battle Frontier, which isn't back, and unfortunately they just sort of They put a thing in the game. It's a small model of the Battle Tower, and it's like, oh, this could have been in the game, but instead we were just like, ah, no, we'll build it soon. So that's unfortunate. But otherwise, it's good. They've made some changes. They redesigned one of the cities, so it's now confusing to navigate.
Is it like the core city in...
Yeah, so the funny thing is they changed it so Morville City in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire is twinned with Lumiose City in X and Y, and I was like, yeah, they twinned it in the sense that they made them both confusing to navigate. The graphics are nice, actually. There are some bits that look really cool, especially the cutscenes. And the Delta episode, which is a... sort of an extra bit of story you get after you finish the Elite Four, is really good. It's really, really good, and I wish they would do more stuff like that in Pokemon games normally, but for some reason they just don't. I don't get it. Like, the story in Black and White 2 was really good as well, and I assume that Game Freak have like an A team and a B team, and I assume the B team is the team that does like the follow-ups. So they do the remakes and the follow-ups. So I guess it was the same team that did Black and White 2 and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. And whoever it is that's on that team, they're good at writing. They should do stuff for the mainline games because...
they come out better.
Yeah. The extra writing things that they do is really cool. There's new Mega Pokemon. I haven't really used any of them apart from the Metagross you get when you start the game, because it kind of makes it's kind of overpowered to start with. They've made the Ruby and Sapphire easier, which really annoys me because Game Freak must know that people like me, there are lots of people like me that play these games, so why make them easier? I don't get it. But, yeah, otherwise... I don't have many complaints, to be honest. I would have liked to see the Battle Frontier back.
I am kind of curious about this, especially being that in recent years there seem to have been... Are you getting to the point where you're kind of getting tired of Pokemon coming out every year, or do you not mind?
if there's one next year, I probably won't buy it. Like, because obviously, I tend to sort of go on a break for a bit after, like, I'll buy the main games in a generation, and I'll buy, like, some of the follow-ups, and then I'll just wait for a bit. Because I waited to play Black and White 2 until just before X and Y came out. So I'll probably go on a break if they release a Pokemon game next year, which I hope. I hope they don't. So yeah. It sort of gets to. The way I do it is I sort of gorge on it a lot, and then I take it like a year or two out.
Okay. So you binge eat, and then it's Thanksgiving. Like, you binge eat, and then you never want to see turkey again for a long, long time. Okay, I was just curious about that because there's a thread on Gaff about like Nintendo's annualization, and Pokemon is probably their biggest offender recently.
Yeah, even though it's not... they release two games that are practically the same as well when they do it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I was always under the impression that you weren't supposed to buy both versions of the game.
No, but like if you that is true, you're not supposed to buy both, but they could still just release one game and nobody would notice.
Yeah, yeah, which is what they kind of used to do with the follow-up, like with well, not with Black and White 2, that was 2, but like Platinum, and yeah. You know, I own all that other stuff. They used to just do one follow-up, and that was fine. So, yeah, I was just curious. I am kind of like you. I like Pokemon, but as you know, I don't know if I mentioned this. It took me like 10 months to beat X and Y, which I just kind of finished in October of this year, or I guess 11 months. So, yeah, I tend not to buy them every release. Like, I didn't buy Black and White 2. And I think there was, between Black and White and X and Y, there was about 3 years between those two releases. So that was easier for me to swallow, and I won't do Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. So I'll probably wait. Not even if they do like an XYZ, but I guess whatever was the next evolution of Pokemon, no pun intended.
Yeah, the next generation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Martin, you have new old games as well, don't you?
Yeah, I've been playing more Dragon Age Inquisition, of course, which is still really good. The side quest stuff actually got better when I progressed further. Apparently, most of the more interesting side quests are all hidden in the Inner Circle quests, which are basically your, what you call it, like friendship quests. I mean, the people you pick up, basically, they have quest lines. Those are basically the more interesting side quests. So yeah, that game's still really good. Definitely up there this year, I would say. And the other one is Smash Bros., which I've been playing a lot for the past...
2 days?
It's 3 days for me. It's 3 days for me. And yeah, I like this Smash Bros. A lot, I have to say. I've probably not played this much Smash Bros. Since Melee, I would say. Because as far as I remember from Brawl, I think I played the weekend it came out or something, and then never touched it again. I don't even really know why. It just didn't grab me, but this one I'm really enjoying. Lots of interesting single-player content, lots of stuff to do. I've barely played online, actually. I played a couple of matches, not that many, because apparently I really suck.
What were you playing? Were you playing with friends, or were you playing just randoms?
Randoms. And I tried for glory, and I have like a winning percentage of 13%.
Hey, so... you won.
Yeah, not that great, but at least I think I finally found the character I'm mostly going to stick with. I think it's Lucario. It's kind of fun.
Lucario is pretty fun. He was one of my favorites in Brawl.
Yeah, I like the idea of him doing more damage as he takes damage, which is interesting to me. Also, yes, a good counter move, I mean, which is always good in my book.
Yeah, I didn't really think so many people counter moves this time around, though. Because Shulk also has a counter move. Most people with swords have counter moves.
Yeah. Marth. Lucina. Ike. Robin not, I think.
No, I don't think Robin does. It's because that's more focused on being the mage class in Fire Emblem.
Greninja, though, has also...
Yudomak has a counterattack as well.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah, there's a lot of people with counterattacks, which is fine, because it's... it's, like, one of those moves that, like it kind of makes sense, but it's really hard to kind of do in, like, four players when everybody's just, like, beating the crap out of each other randomly. Or, I guess, even more so in, like, eight players.
Well, it sometimes can get you out of... I mean, I don't use them that often, but they sometimes can get you out of sticky situations, so using them sparingly is also great, I think. So I like having it, so that's why I guess I like Lucario. Also, I like his projectile, which is basically like Mewtwo and Melee. So that's good. And with the game, also picked up 5 amiibos.
I like how it went from I'm just going to get Samus to check out to 5 amiibos.
No, I have Kirby, Pikachu, Mario, Samus, and Fox. I actually like these figures. They're actually of good quality.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that they work in some games in certain capacities, but I do like the figures themselves.
Yeah. I like having them on my shelf, but I also have to say I am actually training them. I have 2 of them already to level 50 leveled up, and tried different things with different characters. Like my Pikachu is basically just stock match amiibo, like with no items and stuff. Where with Mario, I tried to incorporate all kinds of stuff. And my Kirby and Samus actually let them be trained by Mario and Pikachu. So I will see how that turns out once I play against them. And now with Fox, I'm also trying to make him basically a one-on-one character. We'll see how that turns out.
Very nice, Tim.
Yeah.
Just as a side aside, I also, because the patch, the update for Hyrule Warriors came out this week as well, which enabled amiibo support. Mm. And amiibos in that game work more akin, not necessarily, because in Mario Kart they work like an unlock. You kind of use them and unlock the costumes and that's it. Where it's, I don't know what you'd, it's like an unlock key in Hyrule Warriors, but I think, and I think Hyrule Warriors, to me, is the best use of them so far, even though it's not much of a use. And the fact that it encourages you to use them every day with the game, because I think you can do up to 5 of them, and every day they'll give you something. Ink always seems to give you, they spin a weapon, so you'll get different ones of that, and you can, you know, you can mix and match them in the game to get what you want. But everybody else seems to give you something different. Like, they can give you a material, they can give you rupees, they can give you a new weapon, or they can give you, like, a version of the weapon you have in the game.
So it's funny when they just give you 1 rupee.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They can give you 1 rupee, which I'm beginning to think Mario's poor, because he's giving me 1 rupee 2 days in a row.
Well, he's just a plumber.
I know, maybe those gold coin conversion doesn't really work in rupees that well. But the first day I got, the first day I used him, he gave me 50,000 rupees, so maybe I just drained the guy.
I guess that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's well enough for the game as far as, like, being able to make new weapons and to create potions and stuff like that, because rupees are used in a lot of the, quote-unquote RPG elements of the game, I guess. But yes, the fact of the matter is, I find myself, it gives me I'm completely addicted to Hyrule Warriors, but it gives me a reason to boot up the game every day, and like the first thing I do is like I'll just scan my amiibo and see what I get today, and then I'll, because you do it on the title screen, so it's like the first thing you can do, and then I'll go on to play the game. But it's nice that like I've gotten various weapons, the spinners, I've gotten the 8-bit ink sword, which is awesome. I've gotten rupees, I've gotten rare materials and stuff like that. So you go in and you have to, it's once a day, so you can't spam it. But it is nice to kind of go in there and be like, okay, what am I getting today? What surprises do you hold? And, you know, it's nothing major, but it's not necessarily like, oh, this is DLC or anything like that. It's literally just like, oh, here's something cool for just using this today. It's like a rewards program.
They do something similar in Smash, right? If when your amiibos fight, they find presents, which can be gold coins or equipment, stuff like that. So they do something like that in Smash as well.
Yeah. I still want a full game, but I mean, the uses they have right now are kind of neat in the fact that, okay, it's something that, again, doesn't change the core game. Like, you aren't missing out on anything, except for, I guess, high rewards. You will miss out on the weapon. I don't think you can unlock that in the game.
You can't. Also, but my fox is already turning into the dick I wanted him to be because he's now taunting me every time he kills me. So
I heard that's a habit they earned really quickly.
Uh-huh. So that's good. That's exactly the kind of dick I want him to be.
You know, I don't think I ever taunted after defeating someone. I'd never thought of it. I don't taunt often in fighting games. Apparently it's something I need to do. I used to do it in wrestling games because it always built up the special meter.
In Smash Bros., when I played melee all the time, you kill someone, you taunt. Especially the Mario taunt, because it's so obvious. Great. I mean the up one when he basically...
He grows,
yeah. Which is great. Smash, really cool. I actually like the amiibo use. Of course, like you said, a game that's just built around them would be really cool, I think. And I think Nintendo could actually make something really cool out of that. We'll see if they actually will do something like that, though. I would not doubt it. I mean, it's not really against their philosophy, I would say. The figures still work with other games, so why not, right?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I could probably see them doing, I think probably, and maybe it will work out, to be kind to the consumer, maybe it's like a free-to-play game where you download the base game, because they have kind of dipped their toes into that model with like Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, or a Steel Diver. So maybe they'll think, okay, if we give it to them we give them the base game for free and they have to buy their figures, maybe it's not. We'll see, but I do still want a core game, yes.
Yeah,
and actually that's a pretty good way of doing it, because that way you don't really lose anything. It's just like a bonus for going out and buying them, and it will encourage you to collect them all.
Yeah. Also, you can already see, like, I expect, like, some figures will probably get some good uses in the already announced games, right? Like Mario and Yoshi. I mean, basically all the Mushroom Kingdom characters, I guess they will probably find some kind of use in Yoshi's Woolly World and in Captain Toad, I would assume.
And Mario Party 10.
And Mario Party 10, of course, yeah. And for Kirby, you could probably expect all the Kirby characters to do something, right?
Yeah. The thing is, and I think this is kind of what the takeaway from these three games, is like we don't know what they can do in those games.
Yeah.
Because we've had, where they aren't a core part, but they are an element of Smash Brothers. They are an unlock key for Mario Kart, and they're kind of a reward system for Hyrule Warriors. So there's a lot of different ways they can take this.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious to see what the future holds. But until then, the figures themselves are just really nice to have.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of just disappointed that they have yet to announce what they do in Captain Toad. I mean, it's fine that the update is coming in 2015, but I would assume you already know what they will do, so give us something.
I'm kind of curious what they can do. Like, like, because it's, I mean, you can't put the characters in there. I think people would find it weird if, like, Mario couldn't jump, for instance. And
yeah.
Maybe they have a special puzzle. Oh, you know what it's going to probably be? Well, I don't know if it's like 3D World. That's going to make, you know, I count on 3D World and 3DN. Like, you can street pass people and they'll give you like random gift boxes. Like,
yeah.
Gift. Yeah, I figured it might be something like that, but I don't know if Captain Toad has those.
Hmm.
Anyhow, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Have you been playing anything
yep.
else?
No, except for those games. Nothing.
Okay. I don't know if I spoke about this. I remember when I got my Xbox, I was so bitter about the Halo Master Chief Collection that was pretty much what I focused on. But I also did get Titanfall. And I have to say, I've really been enjoying Titanfall.
Titanfall's a really good game.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah, I think the problem with Titanfall when it came out was the price. I think because I got it for like $15, my expectations of what I expected it to be were much different. But yeah, it's a really fun multiplayer shooter. It has a ton of great maps. I like the movement of the game. I love just being able to scale up buildings with several timed jumps and stuff like that. I, of course, love the fact that you get to call down a giant robot every so often. And you, not only do you get to call them now, but you get to beat the snot out of each other with these giant robots from time to time if
yeah.
you want. So yeah, it's a really fun game. I played some more last night with a friend who apparently, I don't know, I think this is a newer mode, Hardpoint?
No, this has been in the game since it launched.
Okay. I do know that there's some new modes because I tried out the kind of Horde mode.
Yeah. Is that any good? I haven't tried that yet.
It's actually kind of fun. I think it depends. You probably need a group of people who know each other because like, it was me and a friend playing a little random.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can't communicate with everybody, sometimes like there are certain types of Titans in that mode that I don't think are in the core game. Like, there's the mortal one, which is kind of long distance. And if somebody doesn't take care of them, they'll just wreak havoc on your stuff.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
Yeah, that's kind of, you have to know, like, okay, we need to go and get that. We need to kind of get those Titans right away. And the same thing with the Nuke Titans, where they'll try to rush the point and blow up, and they do heavy damage. So the point is to kind of try to keep them away as much as possible. Even though that is still something I'm trying to work on, because I'll kill some of them. And it's the same thing with Human Titans. Like, you kill the Titan, but there's a period of time before when the Titan's destroyed.
Yeah.
And when a Titan was destroyed, if that makes sense. So, like, some of them have, like, especially the Nuke Titans, and this is something the human characters can have. If you're near them when they detonate, you get thrown up as well. And sometimes I don't pay attention to that little meeting, and I'll just continue to try to attack them and, like, oh crap, I gotta get out of here. But it's too late. So, yeah. I understand it somewhat. I still think the evacuation is a dick thing to put in the game.
Why?
I think just because it's like adding salt to a wound. It's like, you already lost. Now you need to get out of here before another team hunts you down.
The end of a match, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really understand that, but...
You know. No, because what happens is the other team won for a reason, and usually have a bunch of Titans and a bunch of people just huddled around the point.
Yeah, and I have, when I used to play Titanfall, what I used to do was I had a Titan that was, that had the nuke ejection sequence.
And you would just have a guard there?
I would just stand by with the dropship, and then I would just set... I would initiate a manual ejection sequence when people were due to jump into it. So it would split them over.
Like I said, dick move
to
put in the game. Like, it serves no other purpose than to just kick a man when they're down. I think it might be better if they put the evacuation point on the maps other people need to evac, and not the other people, so they have to hunt them down and find it. Because if you both know where it is, the other team's just going to camp. They know where you have to go. That's Titanfall, which I think is also right now on sale. I don't know if that sale has passed. I think it's on sale right now for $12 on Xbox One. Which I think is rather impressive. It was on sale for like $5 on PC this past week. So I think it's the biggest collapse of a first party title this year as far as price goes.
Well, it's not really a first party title.
What? Isn't it? No, it's not published
by EA game.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. So, yes, that's what we've been playing, which brings us to the news. And like we said last week, there's really not much to talk about. This was Thanksgiving. There was probably 2 days people actually worked this week. So, it wasn't a ton. I think the biggest news of this week was the whole Assassin's Creed Unity apology tour, I guess. Ubisoft released the first major patch for the game.
Oh, wait a second. I have something else I played. I already forgot because of how angry I was.
That's a good sign.
I played the Crew Beta.
Oh.
The second one.
Yeah.
Was it better than the first, or was it the same thing?
I don't game is good.
No. Is the game still bad? And the first beta was on PC, and I played the first beta, and the game was bad then. So if it's still bad, then that game has got no hope.
I think the handling of the cars is absolutely atrocious.
Yep.
They are swimmy to no end. No car I've driven in my life ever drove like that. I have no idea what those physics are. The open world is absolutely uninteresting. That's something you notice. I noticed especially because I just finished GTA 5, and when you compare their open world with what the Crew does, or for that matter, every other Ubisoft game that is open world, they just put missions in there, and the world itself is absolutely uninteresting because there's nothing going on. And I also don't think it's really a good looking game. I think GTA 5 kind of looked better, which is weird since that's just the last gen upport.
Yeah. And it's 30 FPS as well. Even on PC it was 30 FPS, which is annoying as crap for a racing game.
Yeah, also I thought really weird was, like, the traffic in that game. I mean, for one, I think traffic was really liked. And the other thing was, the traffic doesn't react to anything you do. You can drive in their lane, you can drive to them head on, and they will not even try to swerve out of the way or anything. And even if you ram into them, they barely react. It's like every car in this game is a tank, except your own. Really weird. And on top of that, I was absolutely disgusted by the microtransactions I saw, because apparently everything in this game can be bought with a secondary currency, which you would buy with real money in the full game. So, it doesn't matter if it's a new car, or paint jobs, or even perk points, so you can basically skip the whole leveling up thing. You can buy all that shit for real money. And this is a full price title, and it looks like a free to play title.
As an aside, technically speaking, you can review it based off of the beta because Ubisoft has no embargo on it. So yes.
I give it a disgusting out of 10.
I would give it Troy Baker as primary protagonist out of 10.
Yeah,
that was the icing on the cake for me. I was like, and Troy fucking Baker is in this game.
And the story also super dumb. As expected. I mean, it's a driving game. You're putting a story in it. It's most likely going to be dumb. I think my favorite part was like how the gang was called or something. It's like, yeah, we are the 510s and I'm the V8 in the 510s. What the fuck are you talking about? No, this is not going to be a good game. And the microtransactions for me were like the icing on cake. I thought it was absolutely disgusting. No one should buy this.
And that's his review. I like how their reassurance to consumers is that we hope not to have the same problems we had with AC Unity with the Crew. But it seems like the Crew has a whole different set of problems. It's just nobody likes it.
Well, this is the thing, is even if they do have Like, the game's probably not going to be buggy, but I wouldn't be surprised if the server infrastructure didn't work when it came out, because every fucking game that Ubisoft seems to release now, you play goes down. Did it for ACU, did it for fucking Far Cry 4, did it for Far Cry 3, you know?
Well, I mean,
and this is an always online game as well, so...
Kind of to parry back into what we were talking about, Far Cry 4 and The Crew are one of the games you can get for free if you bought an Assassin's Creed Unity Season Pass, because as part of their...
Or you could just go and buy Far Cry 3,
don't,
just the same game.
Don't get The Crew.
Or
at least get The Crew for free.
Like, Far Cry 4 may be a retread of 3, but at least it's decent still.
Yeah. Yeah, on that matter, I think what they're doing is kind of cool, because they're giving you basically DLC and a game kind of for free. It's not really free, because you already paid for the season pass. But what if you already own Far Cry 4 and you don't want any of the games?
Well, I mean,
can I still get my money back?
They gave you a ton of options, and I assume the assumption is that nobody owns The Crew yet, so that could be a free game. I assume that's what they would say if you ask for a refund, is that you can get any of these games for free. Even if you don't want them, you're going to get one of them. But, yeah, I mean, it's a decent list of games,
yeah,
in the sense.
If I was that somebody, I would try to get my money back.
How much was the season pass again?
It's 30 euro, like, I would assume 30 bucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so you kind of... I mean, granted, you probably could have found a lot of those games for that price during this past week, except for maybe Far Cry 4 and The Crew.
Either that, or you just wait 3 months.
Yeah. And, you know, the assumption is that they're giving you these things, but they're still not... As far as I can tell, most of these aren't great games. Far Cry 4 seems to...
Far Cry 4 is a good game, just like Daniel said, it's more of the same.
It's yeah, it might be a retail, but this is good.
Far Cry 4 is an alright game. Rayman, I think, is on that list, but...
I don't think Rayman's on that list.
I thought it was...
I thought it was all there. It was like Watch Dogs, it's Far Cry 4, I think it's Assassin's Creed of Yakshag, it's The Crew. I forget what
so
it is.
So they're giving away Black Flag, but not Unity. Also interesting. Well, it makes sense. It's just Unity.
It's the
I'm crazy right now. But I don't know. It's a weird. The option to get your money back should be in there as well.
It should always be there, to be honest. If you screw up, then, you know, if it was any other product, then, I'd be able to go back to the shop and get the money back. But not for video games.
Well, I mean, some of them, it seems like some people do, because I think Martin said he got his money back for Drive Club from Sony.
Yeah, but he had to claw to the nail to get that.
Yeah, that's why digital is such an iffy thing. I guess retail would be the same way, because most retailers won't allow you to send the game back. They'll ask you to exchange it for the same thing. But yes. Oh, yeah, and you were correct. Rayman's on that list, and so it's Just Dance 2015.
Yeah. On the other hand, Rayman was probably already cheaper than the season pass.
Yeah, Rayman's probably something they've given away for free at this point elsewhere. And I think in addition to that, you also get, I think the first DLC that was scheduled, you get that for free. I think everybody who owns Unity gets that. Dead Kings.
Yeah.
And then there is the other one, which is like the 2.5D side-scroller. And I think that's also going to become available. But
what was that? AC Shiner or something?
Yeah. So yes, that... Yeah, they're trying to make amends, but I mean, honestly, they're not make amends. They're trying to save face. This was a huge PR disaster. This is their money cow. They don't have another franchise that fit. Like, not, you know, Watch Dogs started off well, but nobody talks about Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs did not start off well. That game is a travesty. I'm not.
Well, I meant start off well as far as like sales.
Yeah,
not as far as like critical reception.
Unfortunately, but yeah.
Well, I mean, people fall for hype. That's a whole different discussion. And I'm sure people will buy Watch Dogs 2 in bulk because Ubisoft is going to make those promises that people want to hear about it being better and faster and more and everything else. And
maybe it'll have a good story, and maybe it'll be maybe Watch Dogs 2 will be about hacking this time.
No, it will just have double the amount of towers. By the way, did I mention that the crew has a tower equivalent? Fuck the crew.
How does it have a tower equivalent?
Oh, you drive around, and then there, on your radar, there appears like, there are like radar stations around, because for some reason, your GPS doesn't have everything on its map.
Yeah.
That's a sucky GPS, just saying. And then on your radar appears like this green or yellow glow. I mean, I think it starts with red, like the further away the radar station is, then it gets greener and greener, you closer you are, and when you find the radar station, then they basically do the same thing the towers do in all the other Ubisoft games.
It reminds me of, I was going to say, the mid-2000s, which doesn't make sense. It reminds me of Last Gen, when Activision tried to Call of Duty every one of their games, so like every game had like the experience bar that went up for anything you did. Like, I remember the player being really guilty of that, like, oh, yeah. You dodged this atom, yay, XP! And this is like Ubisoft's equivalent of it. It's like, we'll just make an open world where there's just a bunch of dots on it. Because people say they want something to do in open world. What they mean is they want something interesting to do, but we'll give them feathers.
It's not only that. It's the biggest problem I have with this whole tower thing. Is that, if you compare to GTA, and this is something that Ubisoft did themselves, so I think it's fair game, right? If you compare to how GTA does its sort of discovery, I guess, is it doesn't show you the map unless you go there. And then when you are there, it shows you the things that are around you to do. And it just, you know, things only get marked once you pass them. And that makes sense, because that's how it works in real life, is you remember that that's where that thing was. You know? I don't know.
I've seen it, because I don't...
But like I said, Ubisoft is unable to make their world interesting, so you want to go somewhere.
I guess so.
So they have to put dots everywhere, so you have a reason to go there.
I mean... The tower thing, like, is cool the first time you do it. Like, in the first game you do it, I guess. And then, like, you realise that, like, it's just padding, and that's all Ubisoft just does in their games, is they pad them. And
yeah, I feel like their games are kind of designed with a checklist in mind.
Yeah.
Like, this is how we review well. You have to be over 15 hours, so how do we make it over 15 hours? We give them a bunch of side quests.
Design. I guess works for some people, but I think it's absolutely disingenuous when someone tells me that all the open world games are not designed in the same way, because they absolutely are.
Yeah, which, again, would not be a problem if it was an interesting design choice, but a lot of it just seems to be like, oh, this is an open world for an open world's sake, because this is what is in. And I kind of fear for what the Division's going to look like.
And the thing is like,
oh, you don't know? I mean, I don't know about the world part, but I'm already fearful for people that were interested in
Division.
Because we already know that they have someone on staff, or had at least looking for someone on staff that would work on microtransactions.
I was looking forward to the Division until I actually played Watch Dogs, and I realized that, you know, Ubisoft games are open world games by the numbers, and they don't even have good world building. I mean, this is only a small detail, but in Watch Dogs, for some reason, the train's rails go at right angles. And it's like, trains, do you not know how a train works? Like, you know, you claim to have all this detail and stuff, but there's a glaring omission here and there, and then you decide that for some reason towers are the ultimate way that you... Oh, here's a funny thing. In Far Cry 4, there are gyrocopters, right? And you think, oh, I'll just get in the gyrocopter and I'll fly up to the top of the tower. They break down. They are scripted to break down if you try and fly up a tower in Far Cry 4. It's ridiculous. I don't like Ubisoft's game design.
But we're not going to harp on Ubisoft too much. We still have the crew to come out.
No, we still have to add something, despite, I mean, except just for the season pass thing. They promised to fix Unity, right? So, even with the newest patch, the frame rate, at least on consoles, I think, what did I read? Improved by 1.6%? Because on average, it's like one frame more in the crowded scenes that were an issue before.
So hang on, if you get 20 FPS, you get 0.2% back. 0.2 of a frame. That doesn't make any sense.
No, on average it's like 1.6 performance gain. So, but if you look at the average frame rate, it's like improved by one frame, basically. In both texting scenes that were an issue.
So we wanted to avoid debates and stuff.
Yeah. So instead of 23 frames, you get 24.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, fancy.
It's filmic, you know?
Well, if you count the Master Chief Collection, then 24 frames per second must be the new standard.
Huh.
Because that's what Halo 4 and the Master Chief Collection runs at most of the time.
Wow. Yes, that... We won't talk about the Master Chief Collection. I've had the game... 3 weeks and I still can't play it.
Well,
okay, we will talk about it in the sense that I think they offered an update. Much like Ubisoft, they're on an apology tour, but their apology tour isn't determined yet. Because they're like, we're going to make it up to our consumers. We don't know when and we don't know how, but we'll let you know when that happens.
I just think it's hilarious that I get more results playing Halo 3 on my Xbox 360 than I do on my than on an Xbox One. That's just crazy. The game is 7 years old.
Fun fact, I was cleaning out my game collection this weekend because I wanted to get rid of some stuff because I need to make room. And I honestly can't convince myself to play any of these games. And I was looking at, like, I own Halo 1, 2, 3, 4, ODST, and Reach. And I'm like, in theory, buying a Halo Master Chief collection should allow me to sell Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4. But those copies still work. And I can't, if anything, I should get rid of the Master Chief collection. And it's just frustrating because, especially being that this was Microsoft's big game for the holiday.
They have the Halo Beta,
which is what we're in right now.
And the thing is that it's not running. But from what I've seen, that there have been more games of the Halo 5 Beta that have run than anything else, which is ridiculous. The game doesn't even come out for another year, for God's sake.
Yes. Oh, as a quick aside, I forgot to mention this. I don't know if I talked about this last week. Sunset Overdrive, Microsoft had that free weekend trial. Really fun, a really smart idea. It was nice of them to get it. They also lowered the price digitally because you already had it downloaded. I got it cheaper physically. But yes, that was a really fun game. So, you know, kudos to Microsoft for trying to be aggressive with that game, especially in light of the fact that their other major game doesn't work for most people.
They're only copying something that Steam's done for years.
Hey, I don't mind if you're copying something that's better for the consumer.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just the fact that, like, it's taken so long to catch up. Valve is not the best company at marketing, but they, you know, they had this stuff nailed a long time ago. Yeah, the strength of digital instead of...
Yeah, I was about to say, though, on the flip side of that, and this is the same thing I had the issue with the Crew Beta, is that... If you're going to do these things, allow people to download them ahead of time. Because, like, the Crew Beta was, I think, what? It was, like, Tuesday to Thursday. And they didn't put the download until, like, Tuesday afternoon. And it's like, yeah, by the time I finish downloading this, like, my day is... Like, it's going to be, like, half a day with the actual game. Or something like that. So I'm like, yeah, I didn't bother with it. And I've heard, Martin, in your impressions on the show before, like, I have no... Racing games do very little for me. And a racing game that sounds awful does... Way yes, so
no.
Yes. What else did we have in? Free to play Infinity Blade for Xbox One in China.
Yeah, apparently they are releasing Infinity Blade, which is like a collection, I think, of all three games. But it's completely free to play, and you play it with Kinect.
Wait, Infinity Blade is that iPhone game, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well,
also,
I only put it up because not that the game in itself being free to play and on Xbox One is interesting. It's more interesting that this is now a thing that Epic is doing free to play games in general.
Well, Fortnite was free to play, and UT4 is going to be free.
Exactly, which made me wonder. Like, I mean, they even brought it up. This version is only exists because of Tencent, who owns like I think 40% of Epic or something. It's Chinese
mega conglomerate. Yeah.
I don't know. They make apparently everything on the internet, at least China, and. It's
they
interesting,
own Riot,
right?
If I remember correctly.
I wonder now, will we ever see another full price or console title from Epic again? It made me wonder. Because it's been a while already.
Yeah, I feel like they sold the Gears of War license. Fortnite is a PC only title. I honestly don't think I think they're okay with just doing the engine and having people use it, because they probably make more money off of that. Then try, like, even last gen, they made what they already made the Gears of War games, and I guess Bulletstorm.
And they made UT3 as well.
Oh, okay.
There's no.
But over 8 years, that's not a ton of games, because they didn't make Judgment either, did they?
No, it's not a ton of games.
They did. People Can Fly made it, and they owned People Can Fly at the time.
Yeah, okay. I mean they didn't make a ton of games, but at least they made games, right?
They made, yeah.
But. No, I mean, it makes me wonder if that's the future for Epic.
I wouldn't be surprised, considering the idea of UT4 is to basically be a tech demo for UE4, and they have their own very specific pricing model for that. So it wouldn't surprise me if they were refocusing to be an engine vendor, because they don't have any IPs, you know?
Yeah, and I probably assume that PC allows them a lot more freedom and their consumers, where like Microsoft is like, you can't do this, you can't do that,
yeah.
You can't, you know. Just
yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, whatever they're doing with UT seems cool, but also I have to say, it kind of does make me sad, because Epic kind of is part of the old guard. That, you know, they were special.
I guess, and they've always been a pretty cool company. Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, they had the talent exodus, so maybe they're just sort of concentrating on UT and UE4 for now, until they can get people in that have some creative chops.
Hmm.
Yeah, but even then, a lot of their people big names left as well. So I feel like that. I feel like that was the marked transition to them seeing like, okay, we're going to focus more on the graphics engine and less on the actual creative side, and maybe that people saw the signs coming and decided to leave.
I'm not the first to speculate. I mean, the speculation of Epic going that direction basically started with all these high level people basically leaving and having all those shares being bought by Tencent. That's basically what spurred all this discussion. But now seeing also this coming out and stuff, it kind of seems that's the direction Epic is going.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. I was also going to say, while we're talking about Microsoft in China, the head of Xbox Japan stepped down this week as general manager.
Oh, right.
He's moving to the U.S. division. So a lot of people are kind of speculating that that might be the end of Microsoft's presence in Japan.
In Japan?
They sold, I think, 35,000 Xbox Ones?
To date.
Yeah.
And not the past week.
Man resigns from Microsoft because he cannot work miracles.
But he didn't resign from Microsoft. He resigned from the Xbox, the Japan division. He's moving to the
Man steps
state.
Down.
Yeah. And that was my first reaction, is I didn't know they had an Xbox Japan division.
Had one since the 360. Just obviously they don't sell in Japan, so.
Yeah, I was about to say, my second question would be, what did they do exactly for the past decade?
I think the problem I remember reading something about why the Xbox brand isn't a fantastic, isn't a big sort of hit in Japan, and it has.
What if?
It's a lot of superficial things, like you know, on the PlayStation controller, you have cross and circle, right? In Japan, circle is confirm and cross is deny, right? So, Xbox, you know, that was a thing, and like the fact that the original Xbox was a big black monolith, you know, and that didn't strike well in Japan, and obviously the Xbox brand has been very heavily associated with shooters, and that's not a genre that's all that popular in Japan.
There was a lot of things working against them, and even when they tried, they didn't get that far in. And there are people who say that there's a cultural difference where people just didn't like American companies, which I don't necessarily, because Apple does pretty well in Japan.
Yeah,
but there was just a lot of things working for them, and I think the biggest two was the fact that the two other competitors are Japanese countries, especially when you have a Japanese company, I should say, especially when you have Nintendo, who seems to make most of the decisions based around what's best for Japan.
And Nintendo and Sony, they have a very big content focus for Japan. Like especially Nintendo, most of the things that get released on 3DS at all are in Japan only. And obviously, that's why people buy their systems in Japan, because they get the content. Whereas Microsoft can't even treat Europe with the same degree that they do America, let alone Japan.
I mean, Microsoft is an American console, which is why, more than anything, they were super aggressive with us this month with Black Friday and their price drops and all that other stuff, because they need this market more than anything else. It is, I mean, I don't think you can win alone on America, but if you don't have America, they're pretty much screwed, because I think it accounted for half of the Xbox 360 sales last generation. So, yeah, that was, and I still don't know what Xbox Japan does, and I don't know what they could do. Like, the Xbox One is, it's selling hundreds of units, not thousands.
Yeah.
I think it sold maybe 500 units this past week or something like that.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, you might as well be the Ouya at that point, which I was reminded of this week, the Ouya and Project Shield, because they were advertised. I forgot about those two things.
Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and 2 are coming to the Shield, you know that?
I have no idea what. I didn't know the Shield was still around. And it's still full price. It's still $200,
mm-hmm.
which I think is insane. At least Ouya dropped the price to what? It's like $60 now or something like that. I guess not really news, but Nintendo.
I sometimes wonder what kind of person buys Shield. I want to meet that person.
The only person that I have encountered that has ever bought a Shield was a guy on Twitter who bought it because they released Half-Life 2 on it. Well, it's very interesting, because any PC can play Half-Life 2 these days.
Yeah, I'm very confused about that.
And not only that, there is Half-Life 2 versions on the Xbox, the original Xbox, and the 360, and the PS3. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did an Orange Box 2, which brought it to PS4 and Xbox. So.
Okay, but yes, Nintendo also patented a Game Boy emulator for multiple devices.
Yeah,
mobile, PC, tablet, PDAs, which I haven't heard that term in ages.
Because we have these good things called smartphones now.
I assume the only reason someone still uses that word is for, like, trademark and something purposes. Just in case.
Just to cover
put PDA in there.
Just in case somebody whips out their Palm Pilot and
get their BlackBerries going. But yes.
It's complicated.
Which it does. We don't know what this means. I mean, part of it is,
it doesn't mean Nintendo. No, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean Nintendo are putting Game Boy games on phones or tablets or PCs or whatever, because as I said on Twitter, Nintendo can't even put Game Boy games on their own systems properly. Because, I mean, we got Pokemon Puzzle Challenge, guys! That game that nobody ever played when it came out the first time, you know?
Now you get to play it again.
Yeah, and now you get to play it again. Screw putting Pokemon Gold or Crystal or Red or Blue on the 3DS. Pokemon Puzzle Challenge.
Then they can't say your remakes. There's two things that I heard, and one of them I can see because it's a cynical answer, which always makes sense with businesses, is that they did that so that they could curb the amount of Game Boy emulators that people release illegally on Android devices by saying, "Look, we have our own one. You can no longer do this."
It's a pretty good theory. But even if they were to remove every Android emulator, I have one on my 3DS now, thanks to Cubic Ninja. So
everybody has Cubic Ninja now.
Well, no.
I saw Cubic Ninja go up the charts on Amazon.
I
bet a lot of people have no idea why.
When it was announced, it was 4 a.m. here, and I waited for it to be announced, and then I bought two copies immediately. One of them got cancelled, and, you know, I paid £5 for the one copy that I did get, and then I woke up and it was 50 quid. And I was like...
Yeah, it's not now 40 euro here as well.
And people are upset. Like, I think GameStop is gouging the prices it as well. I'm like, don't really care, because nobody knew what Cubic... I don't even know when Cubic Ninja came out, to be honest with you.
It came out in 2011. It was one of the first 3DS games ever, right? And it doesn't even support 3D. That's how good this game is.
Well, I was about to say, it is fitting that the people who screw Nintendo over is Ubisoft again. But yes. The other thing, and which is my theory, which probably won't be true either, but I was thinking maybe it's not Nintendo who wants to do it, but maybe Nintendo does it so that third parties can release their older games on smartphones, and then they'll get a cut of that pie. Here's a Game Boy emulator that works with all the Game Boy games well, and you can charge, $3 a game, and Apple gets a buck, we get a buck, and you get a buck, and... I mean, at that point, it's all profit. You're not doing any of the work. You're just dumping your games onto a thing. So, and that's a lot of third parties like to do that. So,
yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe Nintendo would develop some kind of emulator for Android or whatever, and then license that out, maybe, to Capcom, so they can put Mega Man without remaking the entire game from scratch.
Yes, and. It benefits them as well, because then...
anything with Mega Man.
Yeah, well, it was a bad example, but it was one.
Well, I was about to say, that's not necessarily true, because they re-released almost all the Mega Man games between the 3DS and the Wii U Virtual Console. All the ones they can re-release anyhow. And then they do that stupid Android game, the mobile game a few years ago, where like, you had to buy the extra stages.
I don't know. But Capcom doing something stupid doesn't sound weird to me.
So what else do we have? Broken Age is coming out next year?
Yeah, they've delayed it until a nebulous time in 2015, although it was unofficially delayed because it hasn't come out yet.
Well, I thought Broken Age I thought the first half of Broken Age came out.
Yeah, it is out, but the second half is more than just a half, according to Tim Schafer.
Yeah, at this point, they just seem to... Yeah, it's funny, we said this before, it's the same...
The first half also clearly isn't the half, if you play it, I played it, it's more like the first act.
Yeah, I was about to say, and I think, and we said this before, indie developers, you know, love them, some of them just don't have a sense of, like, development, which is very weird from Tim Schafer, because he's done, like, retail releases.
Well, it's not weird, though, because when Brutal Legend was a thing, there was a whole kerfuffle between Double Fine and Activision, and Bobby Kotick went on record to say that, you know, he can't stick to time, he can't stick to budget, you know, and they got rid of it. They got rid of him, and then they had to re-sign under EA. So it's not anything new.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah, but Yeah, but I guess, you know, for some people it's like, oh, it's just that stupid system and Activision. But yeah, it does seem to be like he just doesn't have that many. Like, it's great to be creative. It's great to have a ton of ideas. At some point, you need to say, stop, we have to get this out. Let's buckle down and focus on what we do have to make it the best possible experience. And the fact of the matter is that the full game was due at the start of this year.
It was originally set for late 2012, and then it was sometime in July 2013, and now it's the end of 2014.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like, yeah, at some point, and the worst thing, I guess, is that they work on other games during this as well, and it's like, you have this one game that people paid you for,
yeah,
that you haven't finished, and you're doing Costume Quest 2, and you're doing this, and you're doing that. It's just frustrating. And it was actually one of the games I actually kickstarted. I earned my S in really fast. So yes, there's that. Evolve getting free maps. I don't really want to talk. Well, I guess it's nice that they're doing that. I don't want to talk about that until Evolve becomes more of a game to me. I still don't know.
They say like the maps will be free, but you will still have to pay for like extra monsters and characters and stuff like that.
Which
so
I feel like
the idea is to everyone will still be able to play together, which I think is, at least that is commendable.
Remember at the point where you didn't need to make this announcement, it was just implied.
You didn't have to announce that, hey, look, we're going to give you some free DLC. We're not complete dicks here, dudes. And I guess kind of to end it, and it's not free DLC, but it is cool DLC. Hyrule Warriors got a second DLC update this week, which is the Twilight Princess one, which gives you Twiamidna, which is really freaky because you realize how many people have a crush on Twiamidna, which is really weird. Because she's in the game for all of like a minute. But yes, you get a new character, a new weapon, new costumes for Link and Zelda. Mink's wearing some really short shorts.
Great.
Yeah, they got to get that fan service on both sides of the aisle, I guess. But yes, I think Hyrule Warriors, I'm sure Dynasty Warriors does it. It's just been really good DLC. And I think because of Zelda, it's just easy to, because the Zelda franchise has so many different universes within it, where like Twilight Princess has its own unique set of characters, Ocarina of Time has its own unique set of characters, and I guess next isn't Skyward Sword, next is Majora's Mask, and that has its own unique set of characters. So you're able to kind of pull from that. I'm disappointed we haven't gotten the Goose DLC yet. I'm still waiting for that, but somebody over there should hear me. Tecmo Koei, Hyrule Warriors 2, The Legend of Goose. anyhow.
Tecmo Koei, so there will be another one, probably.
And it sold really well. I think we might do two episodes next week. I don't know how this is going to work in my head. I wanted to do the Game Awards prediction show, and then, of course, a normal show, because the Game Awards are going to have its own reveals and debuts, and then the PlayStation Experience is also that weekend. So there's going to be a ton of news coming from that as well. So we'll see how that goes next week. It may not work out. But we will be back next week to talk about the Game Awards. So for Daniel, Martin, and myself, this has been Do It World in episode 163.